House will come to order. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker. Baker.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Blevins.
Here.
Blickery.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Coleman.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Filer.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Gay. Gingery.
Here.
Goggles.
Here.
Greer.
Here.
Green.
Here.
Halverson.
Here.
Harshman.
Here.
Harvey.
Here.
Hunt.
Here.
Hutchings.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Kasparik.
Here.
Kirkbride.
Here.
Kirkbride.
Here.
Croker.
Here.
Crone. Crone. Larson. Crone excused. Larson.
Here.
Lockhart.
Here.
Laux.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
Mater.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Moniz. Nicholas.
Here.
Northrup.
Here.
Patton.
Here.
Paxton.
Here.
Petroff.
Here.
Piperinen.
Here.
Reeder.
Here.
Simlick.
Here.
Summers.
Here.
Stubson.
Here.
Teeters.
Here.
Throne.
Here.
Walters.
Here.
Watt.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
Winters.
Here.
Swanitzer Dan.
Here.
Swanitzer Dave.
Here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
59 present, 1 excused.
The prayer of the day will be offered by Reverend Bob Girard, representing the First Presbyterian Church in Cheyenne.
Let us pray. Lord God, we humbly come before you as your leaders of the state of Wyoming. We thank you for safe travel back to this chamber. Watch over the families of these leaders as they are apart from them this week. We praise you for the opportunity to govern your people. In this praise, we remember one of your servants, Sue Wallace. May she know the joy of the resurrection and her colleagues and family know your comfort as they grieve her death. Out of this grief, O Lord, may you re-energize the women and men of this house to carry on the work before them. Awaken their minds, liven their spirits, and deepen their faith as they prepare to ponder complex issues. Give them strength for the day and joy in their service to the people and you. In your name, amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Play off!
We're at that order of business of Journal Committee report.
Your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 14, 2014 has been read and recommends that it be approved, signed by Representative Winters and Filer.
Our doctor of the day is Dr. Larry Kirvin, MD, from Cheyenne, Wyoming. House Bill number 1.
House Bill number 1, as presented by the Appropriations Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act to make appropriations for the biennium commencing July 1, 2014 and ending June 30, 2016.
The House Bill number 1, the budget bill, will be referred to Committee of the Whole. We are now at that order of business of reports from standing committees. Oh, wait, let's stop there. Mr. Majority Whip, do you have a privilege of the floor?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, if I could.
Please.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to half the dynamic duo that will be helping us this morning is Pages. Finnegan Stubson, who hails from Casper, Wyoming, and is in sixth grade. This is his sixth year, I think, serving as a page. So please welcome him.
Representative Blevins.
Speaker, may I have privilege of the floor? I would like to introduce our Northwest College brand new president, Stephanie Hickswa. And here she is. And with her today is the Vice President for Administration, Mark Kitchen. I believe he's here too. There. Thank you, Mark.
Welcome to the House. Madam Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like privilege of the floor.
Certainly.
I have some very special constituents from Cheyenne, Wyoming that I'd like to introduce. Bison, Ava, and Slade Taylor. Please give them a shout out. And, Mr. Speaker, I know that my other favorite constituent from the north part of the state doesn't want me to announce him, but my husband, Mr. Bob Berger, please stand up, everyone. Thank you.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have some constituents down from Moreland. Here, I guess that's our west balcony. Kind of sitting next to the speaker's much better half. But if I could get Leon and Marge Mulliter to rise with their daughter Megan, please welcome to the People's House.
Welcome to the House. Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Certainly.
It is my honor, members of the 62nd, to introduce my nephew, Daniel Shea, in the West. Excuse me, David. He's never going to let me forget that now. Daniel was his brother. Most of you will remember him. But he is going to the military directly after this introduction. He is leaving for San Antonio to join the Air Force.
Welcome to the House and safe travels. I'd give myself privilege of the floor. Making his final appearance, one of the original guest pages of the day, an eighth grader at Sage Valley Junior High School, my son, Thomas Edwin Lubnow III. And in the west balcony is his mother, Rita. She told me not to introduce her, so I won't. My sheet says Dr. Kirvin was from Cheyenne. I knew better. Dr. Kirvin is from Buffalo. I stand corrected. Any other privileges of the floor? We're now at that order of business of reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 76, Property Forfeitures and Seizures, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Connolly, Gingrey, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, and Watt, and Representative Walters voted no, signed by Representative Gingrey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number three, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 63, Railroad Rolling Stock Tax Exemption, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Eklund, Goggles, Kirkbride, Madden, Mader, Northrop, Petroff, Simlick, and Representative Laux voted no, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman.
Mr. Speaker,
your committee number three, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 69, Fuel Tax Natural Gas, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Eklund, Goggles, Kirkbride, Laux, Madden, Mader, Northrop, Petroff, and Simlick, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, committee number three, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 135, Small Business Investment Credit, Number of Employees, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Eklund, Madden, Mader, Northrop, and Petroff. Those who voted no, Representative Goggles, Laux, and Simlick, excuse Representative Kirkbride, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number three, Revenue, to whom is referred House Bill 154, Exemption for Gratuities, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Eklund, Goggles, Kirkbride, Madden, Mader, Northrop, Petroff, Simlick, Representative Laux voted no, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number four, Education, to whom is referred House Bill 71, Leasing of Equipment, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Connolly, Freeman, Hunt, Northrop, Patton, Paxton, Pipirinen, Somers, and Teeters, signed by Representative Teeters, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number four, Education, to whom is referred House Bill 104, Education, Consent to Release Student Information, respectfully reports saying back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Connolly, Freeman, Hunt, Northrop, Patton, Paxton, Pipirinen, Somers, and Teeters, signed by Representative Teeters, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number four, Education, to whom is referred House Bill 111, School Safety and Security, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Freeman, Hunt, Northrop, Paxton, Somers, and Teeters. Those who voted no, Representatives Connolly, Patton, and Pipirinen, signed by Representative Teeters, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number six, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 140, complementing hunting license, persons with disabilities, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representative Blevins, Davison, Freeman, Halverson, Yeagie, and Pipirinen, excused Representative Crone, and two conflicts, Representative Gay and Hutchings, signed by Representative Davison, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom is referred House Bill 91, Real Estate Loans and Limitations, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Kennedy, Greer, Kasparik, Larson, Lockhart, Reeder, Somers, and Winters, one no vote, Representative Byrd, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 147, Infrastructure Authority-Energy Transmission, respectfully reports back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Kennedy, Greer, Kasperic, Larson, Lockhart, Reeder, Summers, and Winters, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
With that order of business of re-referral of bills, are there any re-referrals? Does anybody have any re-referrals of bills to the Appropriations Committee? Chairman Davison, did you have a re-referral of a bill?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I re-refer House Bill 102, Sage-Grouse, to Appropriations.
Thank you. Sorry to catch you off guard there. We're now at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill number 3.
House Bill number 3, as presented by the Education Committee, an act relating to school finance.
House Bill number 3 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 8.
House Bill number 8, as presented by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to district courts.
House Bill number 8 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 18.
House Bill 18, as presented by the Corporations Committee, an act relating to coroners.
House Bill 18 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 25.
House Bill 25, as introduced by the Corporations Committee, an act relating to embalmers, funeral directors, undertakers, and crematories.
House Bill 25 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 32.
House Bill 32 is presented by the Travel Committee, an act relating to snowmobiles.
There is an amendment, Representative Coleman.
I'll try to keep this really easy. I spoke to my good friend and the representative from apparently the land of ungroomed snowmobile trails, and I had a long discussion and actually had talked about there were some things. There were a couple of reasons why I didn't want this in the original bill. And some of that being this second increase would actually put Wyoming as one of the highest as far as fee goes in the entire region. And the second reason being when we took a look at the program overall, there were some management and oversight strategies I think that we could probably pursue first before we went ahead and granted the second increase. So doing without that second increase is actually a little bit more fair and palatable to all of the different users. So when I spoke to the opposer of this standing committee amendment from Friday, we had a good discussion about it, and if you'll notice, he's also signed on to the amendment.
Representative Summers, for your first time.
Mr. Speaker, I once I got the explanation, I agreed with the standing committee amendment, and I do not oppose it. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Representative Coleman.
Mr. Speaker, I also would like to move the second reading amendment and ask for your favorable support.
Okay. Question having been called, all in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 32, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 32 has been adopted. House Bill 32 having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 38.
House Bill 38 is presented by Representative Barlow, an act relating to taxidermists.
There is an amendment. Representative Barlow.
Mr. Speaker, the amendment is respectfully withdrawn. Thank you.
There is no amendment. House Bill 38 having been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 70.
House Bill 70, as presented by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to the Wyoming retirement system.
House Bill 70 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 83.
House Bill 83 from the Labor Committee, an act relating to health insurance.
House Bill 83 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. With that order of business of bills on third reading, consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the consent list consisting of the following bills, House Bill 34, House Bill 41, House Bill 46.
Reading clerk will read the bills.
House Bill number 34 from the Minerals Committee, an act relating to Municipal Solid Waste Facilities Cease and Transfer Grant and Loan Program, be enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill number 41, Appropriations Committee, an act relating to the Emergency Medical Technician Pension Plan, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill number 46 from the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to public employees, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
Does anyone want any of these bills removed from the consent list? Mr. Majority Floor Leader, could you come up here? And the Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Brown. Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman. Harvey, Hunt, Hutchings, Yagi, Kasparik, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, excused, Larson, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, Mader, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup, Patton, Paxton, Petroff, Piperinen, Reeder, Simlick, Summers, Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 34, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 41, are there any changes? Halverson, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 2 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 46, are there any changes? Swanitzer Dan, aye to no. Throne, aye to no. Esquibel, aye to no. Bird, aye to no. Filer, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Halverson, aye to no. Madden, aye to no. Goggles, aye to no. Blake, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 48 aye, 11 no, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bills 34, House Bill 41, and House Bill 46 have passed the House. We're at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 5.
House Bill 5 is introduced by the Education Committee, an act relating to school buses, being enacted by the State of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill number 5, and I will withdraw it at the appropriate time. I love the spirit of this bill. I love that we are going to prosecute people who drive by school buses. But I'm troubled by the largesse of our government and the ability of people to have surveillance on our daily lives. And don't kid yourself. The videotapes that we're creating are going to be used for prosecution, and they're going to be turned over to the prosecution. And they're going to be, even if they turn on and off just when the stop sign comes out, it's rolling surveillance of every neighborhood in our state. And while I understand the need to prosecute these people who place our children at risk, I find it creepy that the government will have eyes in every neighborhood, everywhere, and rolling surveillance cameras of the citizens of our state. And, you know, our rights are won by blood and lost by good intentions. And this is a good intention bill, but, boy, it sure scares me the amount of surveillance that our government has on people. And so, because of my belief in the limits of the power of the state, I'll be voting against this bill. It's just a mild pushback. I don't know if I encourage anybody else to vote any other way, but I know how I'll be voting on it.
Chairman Teeters, for your first time.
Well, thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, and I don't think there's anyone in this body that's more empathetic to protecting people and their privacy in this body than I am. I bring this bill largely because we have a major problem in the state of Wyoming, and that is that we have approximately 300 of these occurring every morning and every evening when our kids are dropped off and picked up by school buses. I'm really amazed by all these Orwellian sorts of comparisons that are being drawn to this bill. And by the way, that's an adjective, not a proper noun. But the reality is that the images that are going to be captured are that of the license plates on these vehicles. And so I fail to understand how capturing the license plate and an image of the person in the car is somehow going to provide prosecutors throughout the state this new wealth of videotapes that they can go through and find other things that are occurring. This system just simply doesn't work that way. So I would ask for your support, and I think it's the right thing to do. The reality is that we're not expanding police powers. We're not expanding any sort of authority. These systems are already in place on over 300 of our school buses in the state. I believe that based on the presentation that we saw, that it is going to increase school safety by decreasing the number of flybys, and we will increase the number of successful prosecutions of these folks. At the end of the day, there will be fewer flybys in the state of Wyoming and fewer children at risk, and hopefully the tragedy that occurred in Crowheart, where a young girl was tragically killed by one of these people that drove around a school bus last year, will not be repeated. I would ask for your aye vote.
Chairman Madden, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My issue with this bill isn't associated with either of the previous comments made. My problem is that it seems like it's working well already. It was stated during the debate on the thing that we had. School districts are doing it already. We heard again today 300 school buses are already have these things installed. And the whole issue I've got is on page 2, line 9, where the word shall is, and I think that's what we get accused of an awful lot, that we're down here micromanaging decisions at the local level, and there's no obstacles right now, and that may really doesn't matter either, because they can already do it already anyway. All we're saying is that we're reaching out one step further and saying, not only may you, but now you have to. And I think that there's judgment there. I think that certain districts or certain school districts I represent, they've got bus routes that it just doesn't make any sense for those kind of things. But this is a one-size-fits-all philosophy in this bill, and that's why I'm opposed to it.
Mr. Minority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I'm in support of this bill. Any time that we as a body can pass a measure that will save one life in the state of Wyoming, I think it is our charge as the people who sit here to represent the state to do that. And that's what this does. It gives us one more tool, one more deterrent to catch those people who would break this law and take a life. So on for this bill.
Representative Greer, for your first time.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I rise in opposition to this bill as well. As I said earlier, and I'm echoing a little bit of the comments of the chairman from Revenue, this funding is already available for those districts that wish to do this. And again, just leave this with our local districts. Let them assume the control and the responsibility. We don't need to tell them one more thing to do. You know, this is important, the safety of our children. Nobody denies that, one bit. But the fact of the matter is not preventative. This is to help with prosecutions, but this is not preventative. Let our school districts handle this.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, on and for the bill, I would remind you that there are 1,200 buses in the state of Wyoming and 300 are done. All this bill does is simply speed up the process by which they can get this done and provides the money for it to happen. As it relates to telling school districts what to do, this body and other bodies before it have went far beyond the scope of this bill in that regard.
Representative Freeman, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. It is preventative. My community has these cameras already involved. It has changed the behavior of drivers throughout the city. They know that those cameras are there. They know that that they're effective. And basically, we have gone from quite a few drive-bys to virtually none. The other thing that I would like to point out to people is that, yes, school districts can do this now, but what happens is they have to wait for their money. It's an upfront cost, then wait, and then get reimbursed. What this bill does is it allows, well, we make the decision for them. They're going to put the cameras on, but we also allow them to get the money simultaneously.
Representative Hunt, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. In support of local control, let me just give you an example. In my community, we took the local control approach because we did have a serious problem with this issue, and it seems to have worked very well. We had a public awareness campaign program put into effect called SOS, Save Our Students, and put ads out in the paper, put ads out on the radio, put up big signs. And then on top of that, the local school board took a close look at where bus stops were and where there were problem areas, and they moved some stops. They took out a couple of stops to the very minimal inconvenience of students and their parents. And so local control works. And if we just let the local boards handle this on a case-by-case issue, there will be a drop in these incidences. So, thank you. On and against the bill.
Chairman Davison, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I would urge your support of this bill. I told you about the incident the other day about my grandchildren. If that had been 5 minutes earlier, they would have been either beside the bus or getting on the bus, and they wouldn't have had a chance. The fact is that the only way they caught the truck driver was because of the camera on the bus, and so they were able to get hold of him and get something done right away. In other words, it may take a lot of time, and next time it might not be so lucky that they were already on the bus. And this bus had to drive clear off the road to miss the truck, or he would have hit him head on. So I urge your support of this. Thank you.
Representative Green, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. On for the amendment against the bill.
One of our forefathers of our nation once said, "He who would give up a little liberty in the name to gain a little security deserve neither and will gain both." And I think that is what the case is with this bill here. Every day the federal government spies on more and more Americans every day. NSA is spying on more Americans, we find out, because of a certain individual went to another country. Here in the state, we're doing the same thing. We're videotaping our own people with this bill. Currently, any school district can already do this, but somehow we're mandating this as a state, saying you will spy on Wyoming citizens. On for the amendment against the bill.
Representative Goggles, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Speaking for the bill, I received a communication from the students of that school district where this tragedy occurred. They asked me to relate to you to pass this bill, do all you can do to ensure that this bill passes for the safety of children. On and for the bill.
Representative Piperino, for your first time.
Thank you, on and for the bill also. I had an opportunity to attend that hearing there in the Senate Education Committee when those kids came. And I was so moved by their testimony that I went down during that hearing and had LSO start working on a bill that would provide those outdoor video cameras. To my surprise, they came up with internal cameras also in the bill. And one of the reasons why I'm for the bill is that we are giving the local control to this, giving those local school boards the option whether they want to put the internal cameras on. On and for the bill.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time? Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I think it's also important for the body to know and understand the way we provide for pupil transportation in this state. The legislature has essentially taken away local control when it comes to pupil transportation. We provide the funding mechanism to provide all the buses for every school district in the state of Wyoming. So it's not like we would be mandating that they put a piece of equipment on a bus that they bought or somehow generated the money through local taxes or any other way. These buses are paid for by a direct appropriation from this body. So I think that makes a difference to the conversation, but this is a common sense thing we can do. It's not like we're attacking people's civil liberties. If that were the case, I would think it would require some sort of amendment to the criminal code or something. This is already legal. We're not making something currently illegal to be legal. So I would ask for your aye vote on the bill.
Anyone else for the second time prior to the sponsor? Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I withdraw my amendment.
The amendment has been withdrawn. House Bill 5 having been read three separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker. Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
No.
Green.
No.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman. Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
no.
Hutchings,
yeah.
Hutchings,
yeah. Aye.
Yagi,
no.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
no.
Crone, excused, Larson,
no.
Lockhart,
no.
Laux,
no.
Madden,
no.
Mader,
no.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
no.
Moniz, Nicholas,
no.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
no.
Piperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
no.
Simlick,
no.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Stubson,
no.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
no.
Watt,
no.
Wilson,
no.
Winters,
no.
Swanitzer Dan,
no.
Swanitzer Dave,
no.
Mr. Speaker.
I
am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? Burkhart, aye to no. Hutchings, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 32 aye, 27 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 5, having received an affirmative vote of the majority of members elected to the House, House Bill 5 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 51.
House Bill 51 is introduced by the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to a fireman's pension plan, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
There are no amendments. House Bill 51 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Levins.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Filer,
Freeman, Gay, Gingery, Goggles, Greer, Green, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Hutchings, Yagi, Kasparic, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone excused, Larson, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, Mater, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Conflict, Nicholas, Northrup, Patton, Paxton, Petroff, Piperinen, Reeder, Semlick, Summers, Stubson, Teeters, Throne, Walters, Watt, Wilson, Winters, Swanitzer Dan. Swanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Hutchings, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 52 aye, 6 no, 1 excused, 1 conflict.
House Bill 51, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members selected to the House, House Bill 51 has passed the House. We're now at that order of business of consideration of bills on general file budget bill. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House resolve itself into committee of the whole.
You have heard the motion. All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. The House has resolved itself into committee of the whole. Representative Zwanitzer.
Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 1, the budget bill. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill Number 1 from the Appropriations Committee, an act to make appropriations for the biennium commencing July 1, 2014 and ending June 30, 2016, providing definitions, providing for appropriations and transfers of funds during that biennium, and for the remainder of the current biennium as specified, providing for funding for a carryover of certain funds beyond the biennium as specified, providing for employee positions as specified, providing for fees, duties, conditions, and other requirements relating to appropriations, providing for position and other budgetary limitations, providing for task forces and reports, and providing for an effective date.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, if you could get out your budget bill and then the cheat sheet. And I think you've all distributed the cheat sheets last week. And then I think it's helpful also to get out House Bill 1 and kind of work off both of those. Probably have them both sitting right in front of you. You can kind of flip through them together as we go. Just want to explain some of the maybe just answer a few questions right up front. I'll wait a minute here while you get your documents out. The first thing I'd like to look at just the budget bill, and if you'll start on page 2 of the budget bill, and really these are the definitions, and you'll see certain fund types in budgets, and these are the definitions that will tell you where they come from. And so some kind of S1 or S2 or S5 or PF, PR, those kind of funny S7, those will all be in here, and they're all alphabetical on pages 2, 3, and 4. Okay? So that's the first thing. The other deal is really the cheat sheet, and you'll see that it's made up of three columns. And as you move left to right, in the first column, the box above, says revised Gov's Recs. And what those are really the governor's recommendations and his letters. The governor puts the budget together, comes to us, and then there'll be things, and much of that work begins in the summer, really, with his agencies. And then when it comes to us, there's always changes, things that he'd like, things have changed, circumstances have changed, initiatives that he'd like to see put forward. And he brings those to us in the form of what are called governor's letters. I think we had 12 of those this year. And so the revised Gov's Rec includes what his original recommendations are, plus his letters. The second column is what is the JAC changes. And so like the first one, you can see the first budget on the cheat sheet is the governor's, and the first program is administration. His recommendations were $9.7 million. You can see through a variety of things as we go through this budget, we reduced that by $270,000, and then the JAC total is the $9.4 million in the governor's office for administration. So as it goes across, left to right, really the part on the right where it says JAC total, that is what you actually see on your in your budget bill. So if you look at page 5 of your budget bill, Office of the Governor, on page 5, you can see that 9.4, that's the JAC, because it's our budget now. This is our bill, and so you won't see the governor's recs anywhere in this bill. It's all the JAC recommendations. And then one more point, I think, just to kind of as we go through, if you look at the bill on page 5, and that's a good one to start right there in section 1, and if you look up at the very top, it really is in columns. You can see appropriation 4. You follow that down, it'll be section 1, Office of the Governor. General fund is the first column. Any federal funds? Well, you can see the governor has $19.9 million in Homeland Security. Those are going to be federal funds. And then some other funds in another column as you move from left to right, $854,000 in special revenue. And then the total appropriation is on the right. Okay, so that'll just kind of some of how it's organized. I would say, Mr. Chairman, that just to give you a little bit on budget development, we sponsored as a committee more bills than I think we've ever sponsored in JAC. And we met throughout the interim. We started our budget work really in November because we had a statute passed saying we had to look at game and fish and YDOT's commission budgets. So we learned a great deal. Probably going to organize that differently in the future, but we learned a great deal about their commission budgets. We met 2 weeks in December, came back and finished up with 2 more weeks in January. And really that body of work and really a real team effort of 7 House members and 5 senators really brings you this budget today. I would say it is going to be impossible in the next 2 days to recreate all those discussions that we had in a month. It's just going to be impossible. And we started promptly at 8 every morning. Many mornings we started at 7 or 7:30, and some nights we worked till 6:30 at night. So it'll be just impossible to recreate all that. But we are here to try to answer questions as fully and as completely as possible. And I've distributed the members who are responsible for each section of the budget. So if you have more specific questions, you can certainly meet with those members. $3.3 billion is roughly the same as the previous biennium. And I would say there's other parts to the budget, though. There's going to be another real $5 billion out there in federal funds, huge amount of federal funds, and then school foundation funds as well. But this House Bill 1 is dealing really with mainly general funds. Okay, and with that said, our process then will be to whoever the member of JAC is who's working that section of the budget, they will simply address the chairman, say, Mr. Chairman, I move Section 1 Office of the Governor. It's then open. We'll go through it, explain it, and then we'll try to answer any questions. And then when we're done, we'll move to close Section 1. And then I think we have to have a quick vote on that. And then the chair will acknowledge the next member who's up. It just happens to be I have the first five. I have the five elected officials. So I'll be up here for a few minutes, and then I'll sit down for most of the rest of the day. And then finally, just game plan. We'd like to get through Agency 67, the University of Wyoming, today, and that'll get us about to the halfway part with 300 series and capital construction to come at the end. And with that, Mr. Chairman, any questions? Looks like you have a question.
Just making sure you're going to move the bill. Oh, Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a general question. When you're talking about the SR funds, the special resource funds, could you explain a little bit about where they come from? And when you are referencing these in there, if you could reference, or is it that there are too many of them and you can't reference, like on the governor's budget, the $854,000, you just have SR there. Could you reference where they came from? And the other thing on these carryover appropriations, they appear quite often throughout the bill. Are they, they're profiled, but are they funds, well, are they profiled in this? I assume they are. And are they funds that just stay there that are available to be used in whatever agency's budget we're looking at? Because there's a lot of profiled money. If you look on line 13, there's $10,500,000. Is that available to the governor to just spend when he wants, or is that got to come back to us? So if you'd explain the carryover funds for a lot of agencies, that would help.
Thank you. Other questions before we get started? Chairman Harshman.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. With that, appreciate that, and we'll do our best to do that, Representative. So I would move Section 001, Office of the Governor. Members, you can find that on page 5 of your budget bill, and it's on page 1 of your cheat sheet. This is probably one of the more complicated budgets. So I think as starting off, we'll take our time, we'll go through, you can reference back to your budget bill and the cheat sheet, but the JAC members will be working off of the cheat sheet. You can see the programs underneath the governor's office. The first one is administration, and there are actually 9 actions that the JAC took to reduce that $270,000, and so you can see those below. Number one, we reduced the $100,000 general fund for transition expenses, and that can only be spent if we have a new governor. And the request was for $200,000. We reduced that by $100,000, leaving $100,000. That's on page 5 of your budget. Number two on your cheat sheet, we added $350,000 general fund to identify opportunities to improve Wyoming's access to and growth in domestic and international energy markets. And we added footnote number 2, and that footnote is on page 6. You can read it there. It's really identical to what we did a year ago. I would point out on that footnote number 2 on line 17 on page 6, on line 16 and 17 on page 6, and this was really an issue that I pushed, is that it says, and no funds associated with this footnote shall be used for foreign travel by legislators. And I think, folks, if we're going to, and that'll be an issue for debate, but I just felt that it shouldn't be in the governor's office. If we're going to fund for legislators to promote foreign trade and do some of those, and those are probably valuable things, that should probably be in the feed bill. I don't think we need to ask the chief executive to give us money to travel to somewhere. So if we decide that's an appropriate use, I would encourage us to put it in the feed bill. That will come later. So this is identical language to what we did last year. Number three on your cheat sheet, JEC adopted the Gov's rec of $50,000 general fund to be used to encourage the development of liquid natural gas export facilities, and we added footnote number three, and that footnote is on page seven. I would just remind the body that this language has been in the last two previous budgets. This is really a legislative initiative. When I first came to the legislature, I remember we were talking about importing natural gas. And now, of course, we're the world's largest producer. Wyoming is second or third in the United States, and it's in our interest to make sure that we can help promote those on our coasts to get Wyoming's products to market. Number four on your cheat sheet, and I'm just going to work down these, spend a little time with them. Number four, we added $500,000 general fund for potential deep water port litigation expenses, and we added footnote number four. We talked to the Attorney General, felt this would be a more than adequate amount. Some of us wanted to put a larger amount in, and as you are all aware, this is a real issue that's going to affect Wyoming for generations. There's folks in Asia who want to buy our coal, the cleanest coal in the world, and it's a matter of getting it to market. Whether it violates, whether actions by our sister states violate international free trade agreements, you know, commerce clauses in the United States, all those things are going to play out, and we want to make sure that we've properly set aside funds and also as a legislature sent a statement that this is very important and we're going to fight for it if we need to. So that's a new initiative on the part of the legislature. Number five, the JEC reduced the Gov's rec by $20,000, leaving $20,000 for appointee moving expenses. And we added footnote number five, and that footnote number five is on page 8 of your budget. And again, that has to be a new governor. And we cut that in half, and we also did a lesser amount for the other four elected officials. Number six on your cheat sheet, reduced the governor's letter number 9 recommendation for energy initiatives by $1 million general fund, and we left $1 million, and that's in footnote number 6 on page 8. In addition, I believe the governor wanted it effective immediately. We chose not to fund it effective immediately. That's on number 6 on the cheat sheet, and that footnote is on page 8. Number 7 on your cheat sheet, JEC added section 303, and these are carryover appropriations, and a member from the Southwest had a question about this. And we'll try to be real clear on this. These are from the 13-14 budget. So these do not affect the goldenrod or the bottom line for the 15-16 budget. These are monies that were not spent for this specific issue, and we're going to allow to carry over. And I'll do the math as I read through this for you. So number 7, carryover appropriations, subsection A, which allows up to $150,000 unexpended, unobligated international trade global market opportunity funds appropriated in 13-14 to carry over to 15-16. So and you can see up above, there's about, and it's my understanding that there's about 150 of that 250 left. And so we've tried to refill that kind of that pot, and we appropriated a smaller amount. And with this carryover, we'll get us back to where we started the last budget. Number 8 is another carryover, subsection B, and allows $100,000 of unexpended, unobligated deep water port initiative funds to carry over to the 1516. It's my understanding that there's about $48,000 left out of the initial $100,000 appropriation. And as we just covered, we just put another $50,000 in this year's budget to bring it up to that initial amount that we appropriated in the last biennial budget. Number 9 on your cheat sheet allows up to $50,000 unexpended funds for natural gas export facilities. And I believe there's about $18,000 left of the $50,000 that was appropriated, so that'll refill that that amount of money for that purpose. Number 10, I think folks will be interested in, is that we reduced the Gov's rec by $200,000 general fund, making the total of $200,000 for tribal liaison funding, and added footnote number 7, and that's on page 8. And really what this is about is we intend to fund the second half next year, but we really want the governor to come back to the legislature and say these are the goals These are the initiatives. These are the expectations that we plan to accomplish in the next year with our tribal liaisons. And so that was the intent of that, to do 1 year of funding, come back with deliverables, and we'll fund the second year. Number 11 on your cheat sheet is a carryover appropriation of $1.3 million for unexpended, unobligated special contingency funds from 13-14, and that's on page 115. That's something that's been in the budget. It's, I think, the standard budget for unobligated or for those contingency funds is $315,000. We put that much in each budget, hoping we don't have to spend it. We hope there's not a flood or a road washout or those kind of things. And generally, if we don't spend it, we continue to roll that over to build that fund. And there's about $1.3 million there as well. So number 12 on your cheat sheet, a carryover of $750,000 from the last biennium for disaster contingency funds appropriated in 13-14 to carry over to this budget. And again, that's another deal. We try to, if we don't use it, we try to carry it forward, try to be ready when a flood happens or those kind of things happen. I believe I'm on number 13, and this is another carryover appropriation. You'll remember that this legislature appropriated some $15 million, I believe, in the last budget for data center recruitment, and it was appropriated in the last budget. There, we would like to carry that over. It's about $10.5 million, and we also changed the language on that, and you can find that it's farther back in your budget, I believe on page 116 and 117, but we expanded that $10.5 million to not only include data centers, but also to be used in large business recruitment efforts. I would say that I think it's going to need a little work with an amendment. It talks only specifically grants. I think we'd be interested. I'll bring an amendment to add loans to that. I think the business council would really like us to do that as well, because we've really said you can only use it for grants, but I think there's instances where we'd want to use that money for loans. Number 14, and again, this is one of the longer budgets. They're not all this long. We'll go quickly through several of the others, but this is one of the more complicated. And I would say we've made this budget more complicated. We've put more things on to the governor. This isn't his doing. Most of it's the legislative initiatives. Number 14 on your cheat sheet, we added footnote number 8, directing the state auditor to deposit general funds appropriated within the Federal Natural Resources FNRPA account into Fund 35. And this is really a request from our auditor. She wants it specifically to state what fund we're going to put that in. Number 15 on your cheat sheet, we added $1.2 million for sage-grouse research and protection, and we added footnote number 9 with that. And then number 16, carryover appropriation, which allows $500,000 of unexpended, unobligated baseline scientific assessment funds appropriated in the last biennium to carry forward. So if we move up to the budget, you can see administration, the minus $270,000 in your JAC recs to $9.4 million. Those were really a result of 1 through 9 that we just covered. So if you add and subtract 1 through 9, it will reduce the Gov's recs by $270,000. And if I'm looking at the budget now, the next program is Tribal Liaison. I'm looking at the cheat sheet going right down the programs. You can see the Gov's recs were 400. We reduced it in half by 200, as I talked about those deliverables to come back next year, and we'll fund the rest of it. We made no changes on the Commission on Uniform Laws. The special contingency, talked about the base budget is $315,000. There is that carryover amount we talked about. Clean coal technology, we made no changes. Homeland security, there is some carryover. I think the representative asked a question. You can see that there's general fund of $2.7 million. Then there's federal funds of $19.9 million. And then the other funds, I believe, in this budget are there are search and rescue funds like Game and Fish, YDOT, and I think state parks. And we pay a little fee when we do some licensing, and I think that's what that number is. And I can dig a little deeper. But generally, when you see SR, those are fees that are paid to an agency. And then those fees are turned around to provide services. Okay, and they're all, some of them can be different depending on what the, but those are generally come about as laws that we've passed requiring fees to be paid. Okay, the next was data center recruitment. And you can see that that has been zeroed out, and we have a carryover provision in that I talked about. The number 14 and 15 affected the natural resources policy account. You can see we added $1.2 million specifically for sage-grouse, and we also allowed a rollover. In the Endangered Species Act, we made no changes. Baseline scientific assessment, I visited about that's the base budget, and also about a rollover of unused funds from the last biennium. So I think, and this will be one of the longer budgets, and I would stand for any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion. Representative Hutchins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This question is for Representative, the Chairman of Appropriations. In our committee this morning, we just appropriated $26,000 for a sage-grouse team. On page 9 of the budget, line 7, I see over $1 million there. Can you tell me, is this in addition to what we just appropriated, sir?
And Chairman Harshman, I'll probably take all the discussion and then give it to you at the end. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, my question is, with respect to legislative out-of-the-country travel, is that in the feed bill appropriation, or will that require an amendment? How does that get into the budget?
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, my question is on the $10,500,000 of unexpended, unobligated data center recruitment funds. How much did we? I didn't quite hear. How much did we spend, and where did that money go?
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like the co-chairman to just help me out a little bit on my understanding of the veto, the power that the governor has. Can by tradition, have we allowed the footnotes to be deleted by veto in their entirety, or just a line item within the footnote?
Other discussion before Chairman Harshman comes back? Seeing none, Chairman Harshman.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I have all these written down. The bill that was referenced on sage-grouse, I believe that would just be an addition to this amount. Really, our thoughts on this extra money in the budget was to really advance the state's position, make sure we get a, as you know, the listing of the sage-grouse would be perhaps catastrophic to our production of minerals, and we want to make sure that we're out front and doing everything we can to avoid listing of that species. So I believe that $26,000 that was referenced, although I've not read the bill, would be an addition to that. As far as the feed bill, it would be an amendment to the bill as it comes through. Just it'll be a bill that comes through just like any others. As far as the data center recruitment, and I have these numbers. I want to make sure I look at my notes to make sure I have my numbers. I believe that started with a $15 million appropriation in the last biennium. We spent part of that. But what the budget does now is take that $10.5 million and move it really to the Wyoming Business Council now, and allows it to still be used for the data center recruitment, but also other large infrastructure-type projects. And as I referenced, it says only grants right now in the budget. I believe, and I hope a majority of you will, that we should also add the word loans in there as well. But the number was 15. It's down to about 10. The total amount in the budget, I guess I would just say that the governor brought us a letter. We approved $10 million more to go to the Wyoming Business Council for these large projects. And then you all, I think, are aware of the community facilities program that takes many old school buildings and turns them into facilities around the state. There's $4.1 million in that fund, and we allowed that fund really to be used for other areas in the Wyoming Business Council. So if you took the 10.5 that we're suggesting we carry over from the last biennium, the 10 million that we approved in the governor's letter, and I believe he asked for 15 and we cut it back 5, that would be 20.5, and then the 4.1 in business community facilities program that could be used for that. So we're approaching about $25 million that could be used for large business infrastructure projects. That's in the amount. So that's the total amount there. And then the last question was on the veto language. And really the answer is yes, he could line item out entire footnotes, absolutely. Hasn't tremendously. I think the one more substantially last year, Vito, was when this body commanded the agencies to make certain percentage cuts, and he vetoed those parts of those footnotes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Nicholas.
Chair, thank you. And also follow up on the Majority Speaker's question, the Majority Floor Leader. I've got an amendment that also takes the language on out-of-country travel out of this bill as well.
Other discussion? Thank you. Question being called on Section 1. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Section 1 is passed committee of the whole. We are now on to Section 2. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 2 on page 9 of your budget bill and page 2 of your cheat sheet. This is Section 2, Secretary of State. Now, you can see that the governor's recs were for $9 million on the administration piece. We reduced it by $1.1 million, and that is lines 1 through 5 on your cheat sheet. So let's cover those reductions that we made. JC denied the governor's request for $150,000 for potential litigation expenses. Secretary of State said, hey, I'm the one who gets sued a lot on all these state issues. Why don't you put a little money in there? And we said, no, because, first of all, there's several attorneys in the AG's office who are really assigned to the Secretary of State to handle any lawsuits that come against them. And we just are not in the business of funding unknowns, you know, what ifs. And so we denied that. Number two, the JC denied the Gov's Rex for $175,000 for legislative mandates. We said no. And frankly, when we pass constitutional amendments now, they have fiscal notes to cover the printing costs, those kind of things. We've been very cautious. I think that probably the last time we stepped into this was with the printing of the constitutions, and we've been a little more aware of that. But again, we're not in the business of funding potential unknowns that are in the Secretary of State's office. So we said no to that. Number three, we reduced the Gov's Rec $104,000 and requested two positions, and we gave them, frankly, one position. So we reduced $104,000 and left $104,000. So we've actually, as you see the JC changes, it shows if you look at authorized employees, it looks like we cut an employee. We actually added an employee. The standard budget had 30, and now it's at 31. So you see the Gov's Rec was 32, but the standard budget was actually 30, and we cut one of those. So they are going to gain one position there. And that is really, that's number three. Number four of five, we reduced $5,000 the transition expenses, leaving $10,000, and added footnote number one, only if there's a change of administration. Frankly, I think the Secretary of State was the only other elected official that asked for this money. We made sure and we included $10,000 in all the other four elected officials. And then number five, the final reduction in the administration, JC reduced the Gov's Rec for the HAVA computer hosting. That's the Help America Vote Act. It's been a federal program, is now turned over to the states. And we basically cut it in half. And we want to see how this is going to roll out when we take over a full federal program, and we want to have 1 year's experience, come back to us in the supplemental, see if that's the right number. We really don't know, and so we were cautious and wanted to fund it 1 year at a time. So that's in the administration piece. The rules tracking unit in the Section 02 really has two parts to that where we added footnotes on 6 and 7. We adopted Gov's letter that added $692,000 out of the SIPA for updating the statewide rules database. And there probably is a double count going on in this particular appropriation because I think there's a Senate file out there that has this exact amount. But that is $692,000. We adopted that. And this has been an initiative of the governor's office. And you folks who have tried to search state rules, we've probably got the most antiquated system in the United States, frankly. And number seven, the last one, section is a carryover, which allows up to $125,000 unexpended, unobligated funds appropriated in the last biennium for streamlining government initiative be used by the Secretary of State for updating the statewide rules database. So we're trying to combine some money from last biennium with this biennium And I think the goal was to reduce the rules by one-third. I think they've pretty much met that rule. I think there's some talk now moving into a system to almost like our laws are codified, Section 1, with the rules, so they actually are kind of organized in a fashion that folks who use them can and do that more efficiently. So I'd stand for any questions.
Any discussion? Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I remember in the supplemental budget last year, there was a lot of debate about removing one employee from the Secretary of State's office in compliance with the governor's mandate of cutting every department by 6%. And I am I to understand that we are now adding an employee back? And my question for the chairman, is this going to be a recurring theme throughout the budget? Are we adding back that which we cut last year? Thank you.
Also, Mr. Chairman, I have a question. On the constitutional amendment we have in the ballot this year, are we putting an appropriation to the Secretary of State to pay for that constitutional amendment? Other discussion? Seeing none, Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe the language last year in the budget was that the next available position would be cut. And then you're correct, we're adding one back. And I'm not sure if that has actually transpired, if that reduction has taken place. But this specific position is going into the securities tracking. And it's in the testimony to us that Wyoming, of course, has been we've really kind of changed the whole game on the way corporations are registered here and through securities tracking. And so they felt that for better customer service, really two, but we thought one would be the way to go. And so I'm not sure about that cut from last year's budget. I'll find out about that, and I appreciate the question. The next question, I think, was on the money for a constitutional amendment. And we've been writing those, although I've not seen any of those bills. They should be in the bill with a fiscal note to cover printing charges. So constitutional amendments are not free to run those. We want to see up front what they actually cost. So I hope I answered those. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'll get a more clear answer for the representative.
Other discussion? Question being called in Section 2. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Section 2 has passed committee of the whole. We are now on to Section 3. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 3 of the budget. It's on page 11 of your budget bills. The section is state auditor. It's on page 3 of your cheat sheet. I'll work off the cheat sheet. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you can see that under administration, we actually added money to that budget, and that's in footnote number 1. The auditors, that if there is a new auditor, a transition expense of $10,000, that's on page 11, that footnote. On brucellosis, we adopted the governor's letter, number 12, and to add $182,000 general fund for brucellosis testing and containment. You can see the addition there that goes across, so that governor's letter is in there, and we made no changes to that. We adopted it as part of our position. Number 3 in the brucellosis unit, JEC added section 303 carryover, which allows $500,000 of unexpended, unobligated brucellosis testing and containment funds appropriated in the 2013-14 to carry over into this biennium. Now, with the $182,000, I understand there's about $320,000 of that initial $500,000 appropriation. So we wanted to fill that back up with $182,000 to about that $500,000 mark. And we've kind of kept that as a budget number the last several budgets. And with brucellosis, you just never know. I mean, you never know if there's going to be outbreaks. And so we want to keep this amount. We've certainly spent near that amount in some bienniums. Some bienniums we have not, luckily. So we wanted to refill that pot of money for brucellosis. Employees group insurance recapture, zeroed out, footnote number 4 on your cheat sheet. We carried over $15.6 million now were increased costs, and there was actually $17 million sitting in the auditors. And you might remember 2 or 3 years ago when insurance rates were much lower than what we anticipated. And so we had rate holidays for state employees for a couple months, and also the state enjoyed rate holiday for 2 or 3 months. And so we had that $17 million parked for the last couple of years, really dedicated to health insurance premiums. Well, we're going to use $15 million of that in this biennium. The other $1.5 million we reverted back to the general fund. Number five, the Library Trust Fund. We denied Governor's Letter 12 request for $300,000 for the Public Library Challenge Program. There's still money in the fund. The issue is really that all of our county libraries, some meet that very quickly, have already met it and have met the match. Others are, it's still sitting out there, and we wanted to kind of see how this is going to play out before we added more money to it. Every county is different. And then on state employee compensation, we really moved this out of the $4.5 million to Section 305, and so when we talk about 300 series tomorrow, Section 305 will be all the employee benefits. And so we'll talk about that at that point. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd stand for any questions.
Discussion on Section 3, Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This may be redundant to others, but when we have this 10,000 in item number one and footnote number one for transition expenses, what triggers the expenditure of that? I think you touched on it, but I don't think I retained it. So would you do that again?
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a inquiry on the Library Trust Fund, item 5 on the cheat sheet. There's the approximately $300,000, I believe it is, that has not been met with the challenge. Is the GAC proposing that challenge be changed, that other libraries may have opportunity to match the challenge as opposed to having it revert back, or did you not touch it?
Representative Hutchings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Another question for the chairman on brucellosis in the auditor's budget. Can he expound on that for the people just a little bit?
Chairman Madden? Oh, just hanging up. Any other discussion before Chairman Harshman comes back up? Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I have these written down correctly. The triggering of the $10,000 would be if we have a new state auditor or a new elected official. We've done the similar things with the four other elected. So if we have a new state auditor, it'll be $10,000 transition expenses. If we don't have a change in that office, a re-election, $10,000 will not be available to be spent. Okay? The next question was on the library, and really this answer that very quickly was we talked about maybe looking at those who've already met the match. Didn't really, we just decided in the end to not go there with that and try to take it away from others who haven't met the match. We wanted to leave that out there for folks to keep working on it. But we did not talk about refilling that for those folks who've already met the match. Okay, and then the brucellosis really is a holding account in the auditor's office that if we have a brucellosis outbreak in parts of the state or multiple parts of the state, generally, this money will go to the Livestock Board, the Game and Fish, to really get on top of this deal and make sure it doesn't spread. It is such a huge detriment to our livestock industry. This is an important kind of a quick fund to really get out and get on top of any outbreaks. So that's what it's for. It's really a holding account, and it has to be. Then we give the governor the ability to move that money in the case of a brucellosis outbreak. I want to correct one thing, too. I think I misspoke on employee benefits, and I know this part. This is number 6. This $4.5 million has actually been in the budget since 2008, and this is a benefit that we give to retired state employees. And I think it's $10 a month for every they get $10 for every year of service to aid with their employee health costs. That's what that is, and I misspoke on that. But the rest of the compensation issues are in the 300 series. Okay, I've got an update on the question for the Secretary of State, the position, And it was in-house counsel. That was the position that was not returned. So that position has been eliminated. And we use, like we try to tell all the elected state agencies, we try not to give them counsel. They use the attorney general, like everyone else in state government. Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Other discussion on Section 3? Question being called. All in favor of Section 3, please say aye. All opposed, say no. Section 3 has passed Committee of the Whole. We are now on to Section 4. Before then, Representative Paxton.
Mr. Chairman, privilege of the floor.
Granted.
I would like to introduce the 12th grade class from Hannah Elk Mountain High School and their sponsor, Russ Wiggum. Up here.
Representative Greer.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, while we're standing, I've got another visitor from Warland. Over in the south balcony, Kathy Cook came down to visit me. If you just give her a nice welcome.
We are now back on the budget. Section 4, Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move Section 4. State Treasurer, it's on page 12 of your budget, and it's on page 4 of your cheat sheet. Okay, members, this is a pretty straightforward budget, not many changes. The Treasurer's operations at $3.9 million. We simply added $10,000 for those transition expenses that you've heard about. That footnote's on page 12. No changes to veterans tax exemption, that unit. The manager's payments, I think folks would probably want to hear what other funds from special revenue. These are payments to, part of the payments, frankly, to manage our $17 billion portfolio. And you see that $53.4 million number. And I would say that there are two types of fees. There are these types that are flat payments where the state writes a check to a manager. The other type of fees we really don't see. They're written in the contracts that are a percentage of the assets that they handle. So that's the manager payments. Unclaimed property. We had a couple changes, and we reduced by $249,000 and through an AG fund and increased $249,000 special revenue. This is really just a technical mistake on budget bill coding. It's cleanup of that agency fund, and it's part of what our state auditor has requested. So that's really no change. It's just change and a cleanup and a correction. Number three on unclaimed property, we reduced the Gov's Rec. They asked for two positions in unclaimed property, and we reduced that by one, granting one new position. And I think there were seven folks. They requested to be up to nine in the unclaimed property division, and we've allowed eight now with this budget. So I'd stand for any questions.
Representative Goggles.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Just a technical question. When we have transition funds of $10,000 and those funds are not used because there is not a replacement for that elected official, do those funds get swept into the general fund June 30th?
Any other discussion? Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And, yes, those, like all funds, then would stay in the state agency pool, cannot be spent, and they would revert back to the general fund at the end of the budget period. It's the end of the biennium. Thank you. And then no changes to the last unit, the Indian Motor Vehicle Exemption, $615,000, no changes. So I'd move to close.
Question being called. All those in favor of Section 4, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Section 4 has passed Committee of the Whole. We are now on to Section 5, Superintendent of Public Instruction, Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move Section 005, Superintendent of Public Instruction. It's on page 13 of your bill, and it's just below the state treasurer. It's still on, we're still on page 4 on the cheat sheet. We actually only added to this budget, and you can see the first note in the Office of Superintendent. We added $10,000 for transition expenses, same language if there's a change, and a new superintendent in that position. And then on number two,
the Teacher of the Year program was a little short, so we added $39,424 for the Teacher of the Year. 48 school districts, I think it's $1,000 each. You take that times 2 years, and then I think there's a yearly award for the State Teacher of the Year. And so it was exactly that amount short, $39,424, to get it up to that $106,000 was needed. So those were the only changes to 005. Stand for any questions.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question for the good appropriations chairman. We had some language in the supplemental budget last year that was going to rebase the salaries because when we transferred them, they were not commensurate for the level of funding for the positions. And my understanding was that those salaries were not ever rebased. And so we have these employees that are being paid at a much higher rate than the rest of our state employees. And I was wondering if I could have further conversation and edification on the part of the chairman so that I could understand that.
Other discussion on Section 5. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this HC has 8 employees approved. There are currently 6. Money from those 2 employees is being used to pay higher salaries to the other folks who are employed there. But I would say that this plan has been approved by HR and the A&I division. So there are 6 folks. You're correct.
Other discussion on Section 5? Mr. Vice Chair Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So a question for the Chairman of the Appropriations Committee. So can a elected official then elect not to fill all the positions and then take the excess salaries and apply them wherever he or she wants to apply them? Is that what I gathered from the only having 6 positions filled and taking the other 2 vacant positions?
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We give our agency directors, in this case, some latitude. It has happened, I think, in the past in different agencies. We keep a pretty close eye on that. These deals have to be run through A&I, through HR. It was approved by HR. But that is what's happening today, yes.
Chairman Teeters.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, but my concern in the process is this. We passed a budget amendment last year in the supplemental budget that said these salaries would be rebased commensurate with other positions that are equivalent, and that did not occur. So maybe we didn't have the language tight enough, but I'd like to have – I guess I'll work on an amendment. But I don't understand how it could be that it was not done. If it was not done, the language was not tight enough.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And that may well be the case. But what happened in what the language required was that the those positions be banded and categorized as they are across with the rest of state government. So you have them on the same salary schedules. What happened here is that was done, but they were all put in such high classifications that the salaries, those high salaries that were being paid, were authorized within those classifications. So they were just as the language required. They were banded. They were moved into that classification system, but it didn't result in any change in salaries. So,
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just so the body understands, and this is public information, 3 folks on the superintendent's staff make over $100,000 a year. One person makes around $95,000, and the other one is somewhere in the $80,000 range. And I can get you the specific information if you'd like it. I have it in an email somewhere, so I want to be general. But that's all public information.
Any further discussion on Section 5? Chairman Harshman? Question being called. All those in favor of Section 5, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Question 5, or Section 5 has passed committee of the whole. We are now on to Section 6, A&I. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You'll notice when some of us move in front of the mic instead of our good chairman, Mr. Harshman, that we're not quite as educated and up to speed on the budget as he is. And even though we spent 4 weeks going over all these budgets, what you learn when you do this is there is just so much
to learn that you just scrape the surface of every agency. You got 90 agencies, and they run through. There's so much information, and it's a tough project to figure it all out. If I can't answer your questions on all the agencies I present, I apologize. But it's not an easy thing to do, and honestly, without Chairman Harshman, this would be quite an ordeal for all of us. So it's something you earn through a lot of time and a lot of work. So with that regard, I would move Section 6 for introduction, Mr. Chair. And just this is the Department of A&I. The budget itself is pretty simple. They have 9 different divisions, do lots of different things. The division, this particular component of the A&I, doesn't address all of his functions, but more of the administrative components. And if you walk through what he does, then I'll just go back to going once again to the cheat sheets on what we did in JAC. First of all, we reduced $500,000 for the statewide property leasing. Just as a refresher, we spend almost $6 million or more than $6 million just in Cheyenne on leasing in the state of Wyoming, and about $24 million around the state. And basically, the number is relatively arbitrary. Our point was just be careful, negotiate these, and don't pay too much for leasing. And so it was just kind of our concern that we don't want to spend too much. And the leases were different from all over the state. And so we tried to analyze them and as best we could. And we said, well, that's our 2 cents. We're going to cut you $500,000. Next, we added $25,000 on the market policy position and state employee pay tables. That's just a simple line item in budget that he had, that he needed extra money to complete that process. We eliminated 5 vacant positions in the agency. I don't know if you recall, but they eliminated 6 positions in the last budget because they were vacant, and so we just added 5 more because they'd been vacant over an extended period of time. And so that, when you see the total number of full-time agency, it went from 240 to 235. No positions were cut, anything like that. Then, with regards to the JAC, adopted the Gov's letter number 12 requesting $100,000 for e-books. This is just an assistance to libraries around the state so they can have e-audio, e-online, e-magazines, things like that. And we denied the Gov's rec for $100,000 regarding the funding for digitizing newspapers. And that's it in a nutshell. We also released $54 million from the health insurance account in order for this biennium to properly fund ongoing health insurance. But that's, since it was just a release of funds, that wasn't in here. So I would move Section 26, and if you have any questions, I'd be happy to do my best to answer them.
Discussion on Section 6? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor of Section 6, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Section 6 is passed Committee of the Whole. We are now on to Section 7, Wyoming Military Department. Mr. Vice Chair Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 7, Wyoming Military Department, page 6 on your cheat sheet and page 15 on your bill. Mr. Chairman, J.C. adopted the governor's rec of $12,968,101 for the Military Department operations. JAC adopted the Gov's rec of $10,756,621 for the Air National Guard. JAC adopted Gov's rec of $779,346 for Camp Guernsey. JAC added footnote 1, page 15 of the bill, adding $1,333,152 in federal funds and 11 positions, specifying that the positions are conditional on federal funding. The JAC reduced on page 6 of the cheat sheet $32,571 in special funds and increased $332,571 in federal funds to match the federal grant award. The JAC added footnote 2, page 15 of the bill, specifying retiree insurance funding shall be made from agency general funds. The JAC added footnote 3, page 16 of the bill, stating that appropriations to the Youth Challenge Program are notwithstanding WW199702, the funding ratios, and if you'll notice on your bill on page 16, it specifies what those funding ratios are. The JAC adopted footnote 4, page 16 of the bill, specifying to the extent not prohibited by federal law, the 5 federally funded firefighters shall be available for firefighting outside the boundaries of Camp Guernsey. The JAC added on page 6 of the cheat sheet $54,000 in general funds to the Veteran Services for burial teams. And finally, Mr. Chairman, the JAC adopted footnote 5, making the governor's rec of $150,000 in general funds for contract veteran services officers a one-time appropriation. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd stand for any questions. If there are no questions, Mr. Chairman, I would move to close Section 7, Wyoming Military Department. Oop, we got one.
Chairman Zwanitzer, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm curious on, as we approve federal-funded employees, what's the downside, what's the catch as we approve federally funded employees under the military department? Does the state of Wyoming ever have any liabilities that come forth from those positions?
I don't see that we do have any. If the federal funds, it actually states, if you'll notice in the on your budget bill, it states that the funds go away, they go away.
Other discussion on Section 7? Chairman Zwanitzer, sir.
Thank you. Just a follow-up on that then. What's the necessity that the state appropriations has to approve those positions?
Vice Chair Moniz?
It's all part of our appropriation process. Any federal funds that funnel into the state have to be approved by appropriations and the body.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is on burial funds, item number 6 on the cheat sheet, and how are those funds available? We in Natrona County have a veterans cemetery, and I think we're exposed to a lot of the costs with that, and I'm just not sure how that financing goes, and I appreciate some clarification.
Vice Chair Moniz.
Thank you. We had quite a little discussion about, actually, they were underfunded for burial teams. They're very thin budget. So anybody wanted to apply through the Veterans Services Commission, they could have access to these funds.
Other discussion on Section 7? Anybody have any motions on Section 7?
Mr. Chairman, I move to close Section 7.
Got it. Question being called on Section 7. All in favor, please say aye. All opposed say no. Section 7 has passed committee of the whole. We're now on to Section 8, Office of the Public Defender. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move Section 8, Office of the Public Defender. And briefly, folks, this is, once again, a pretty simple budget. We added $25,000 for office furniture. They actually asked for more than that, but that's what we gave them. Number two, we reduced by $128,000 to correct an aging funding having to do with the ETS, so that's really kind of just a pass-through. Number three, we adopted the Gov's Rec for $370,000 for capital case funding immediately. The purpose of that is because there's an ongoing death penalty case, and I think there's been another couple in the biennium, so they've used up the funds that we appropriated, so that's funds to allow them to continue through the rest of this biennium. The thing that you don't see on this sheet is originally they had 92 employees. The governor recommended one additional employee. That's a GAL position down in Sweetwater. GAL is a guardian ad litem. That we approved that position along with the governor's rec. And so they went from 92 to 93 employees as a result of this. And in Sweetwater County, it was an odd thing. They didn't have a GAL down there because of particular reasons. And so this literally just brings them back in line with what the other counties have. With that, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Discussion on Section 8? Question being called. All in favor of Section 8, Office of the Public Defender, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Section 8 has passed committee of the whole. We are now on to Section 9, Wyoming Pipeline Authority. Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move approval of Agency 9, Wyoming Pipeline Authority, and ask for your favorable consideration. The you'll see that we adopted the governor's recs. There are no changes to the governor's recs. The budget is essentially flat from what it was in the last biennium. This is a little bit different because this is an instrumentality of the state, not technically a state agency. And so the employees of this program are not state employees. So there are actually three employees. One's a part-time, and then there are two full-time. But they don't show up as employees because they are not considered state employees. But as you'll see, pretty flat budget, and no exceptions really, other than some computer issues that are related to upgrades. So with that, I'd take any questions.
Discussion on Section 9. Question being called. All in favor of Section 9, Wyoming Pipeline Authority, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Section 9 has passed committee of the whole. We are now on to Section 10, Department of Agriculture. Vice Chair Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 10, Department of Agriculture, page 8 on your cheat sheet, page 18 on your bill. Excuse me. Mr. Chairman, JAC adopted the governor's rec with the exception of footnote 2, page 19 of the bill, adding 250,000 general funds to the Natural Resources Division for the purposes of wild horse data collection. And if you notice on your bill, it explains that somewhat. The JAC added footnote number 1, page 18 of the bill, directing the department to pursue accreditation of its analytical services laboratories. And finally, Mr. Chairman, in addition, the JAC added footnote 3, page 19 of the bill, modifying the governor's rec of an additional $2 million general fund for one-time predatory management grants and specifying that the funding shall be included in the agency standard budget 2017-2018. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I stand for questions.
Discussion on Section 10, Agriculture.
If there are no questions, Mr. Chairman, I will move to close Section 10, Department of Agriculture.
Question on Section 10. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Section 10 is passed committee of the whole. We are now on to Section 11, Department of Revenue. Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 11, Department of Revenue, which is page 9 on your cheat sheet, page 20 on your bill. The JAC adopted the governor's recommendations with no changes or modifications. And with that, are there any questions?
Any questions on Section 11, Department of Revenue? Question being called. All those in favor of Section 11, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Section 11 has passed committee of the whole. Four. Get a recess. Okay, Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Next, you'll see, I think, is it the Miners Hospital Board?
No.
I don't even have it in front of me. Architects and Landscapes. Well, and the reason I'm here to talk to you about boards, there's about 40 of them. And I think 37 of them are identical as far as the motion. I mean, there's absolutely no changes. And so we're going to do those tomorrow, the last thing after Agency 206, part of education. And then we'll do boards, we can pull it all together. And then we'll get into the 300 series, Capcom 300 series. Tomorrow. So where you see these various boards, we're going to do them tomorrow. We're not skipping them forever. Just going to pull them all together. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We will start with the Attorney General after the noon recess. But before we call recess, are there committee announcements? I see Chairman Gingery up first.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number one will meet immediately upon noon recess to hear House Bill 175, Transfer on Death Deed, House Bill 127, Disclosure of Juvenile Probation Information, House Bill 128, Juvenile Courts Sanctions, and House Bill 158, Indecency.
Chairman Peters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number four, Education, will meet immediately upon adjournment today, and we're going to move that meeting to room 302 for consideration of House Bill 97, 114, and 124. I don't know that we'll get through all those bills, but we're going to start with House Bill 197.
Madam Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number seven, Corporations, will meet upon noon adjournment, and we will be hearing House Bill 96, Professional Assistant Programs, House Bill 19, Notary Fees, House Bill 20, Fire Prevention and Electrical Safety Fees, and House Bill 47, Government Royalty Revenues Definitions.
Speaker Lubnow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee number 12, Rules, will meet Tuesday, February 18th upon adjournment in room 302 to consider the Revisor's Bill, Constituent Service Allowance, Constituent Allowance Large Legislative Districts, General Procedures for Licensing Boards, and Unified Administrative Code Database. That would be House Bills 37, 36, 89, 62, 123, and the Rules Committee will also hear any proposed rule changes. Just another announcement, brothers and sisters of the 62nd. 92 bills are presently in committee waiting to be heard.
They have to be reported out of committee on Thursday. As you also know, our primary mission here is to do the budget. We will hear the budget first reading Monday and Tuesday. We will have second reading amendments on Wednesday. And then on Friday, we will have third reading amendments as well. So, and then Friday is also the last day of general file for House bills. Bills are going to die. That's just the nature of the beast, but remember our primary mission here is to do the budget. I'm sure the majority floor leader and the committee chairman will rank the bills as effectively and efficiently as possible, but just the nature of the beast and the volume of bills we have, just expect that.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number two, Appropriations, will meet 15 minutes upon adjournment today, February 17th, to hear House Bill 72, School CapCon, referred Bill 142, and any other re-referred bills as time allows. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move committee of the whole recess until 2 o'clock p.m.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? We're in recess until 2.